today we're talking about and discussing and rethinking reframing. Now, reframing stuff is an interesting topic.
Hi, I'm Steve Rick.
And I'm Tim Elliott.
And welcome to the RE of Marketing podcast.
A podcast where we rethink, replay and remark on all good things to do with branding and marketing. We're currently towards the end of July in 2020, which in case you're probably aware, but there was a thing that happened that caused a lot of changes.
just a few.
That was a thing. I won't go into it. We all know. So there's been Brexit. A lot of reframing, right? There's been a lot of reframing. So it's a useful word. And I want to reframe reframing as a skill or as a tactic you can use as a marketer, as a creative person, right? So when reframing came up in our things to talk about on this list, I automatically went into reframing challenges, right? Yeah. So when I say challenge, it might be opportunity, it might be problem, it could be the task in front of you, right? The thing that you've got to work on next, right? You can frame that as a challenge. Reframing the challenge is an exercise in creative confidence, right? And creativity. It's very kind of design thinking based, very workshoppy. You can go through a reframing exercise to help you think more creatively about said challenge, right? To come at it and perceive it from a different angle. Like, for example, one of the simplest reframing exercise is called opposites, right? So you take your challenge, right? And you think about what's the opposite of it. Like, what would be the opposite to achieving this challenge? And it gets you to divergently think in your mind and open different gateways and just become more curious and make sure...
Become less focused on one singularity.
You've got to be open, right? It's easy. It's easy to become blinkered to, as we've said the word a lot, like to assume you already know what the answer is, what the solution is. Right. And I think reframing challenges facilitates creativity, right? Facilitates that little bit of innovative, creative, new thinking that might just differentiate you. It might just make you a bit more distinctive in the thing that you go in. It might just be a bit more effective if you reframe the challenge you're going. Because we're all smart, right? We all know marketing. We all do this stuff because we have a good picture of what could be done, what should work, and that sort of thing. But I think
reframing's really, it works on two levels, doesn't it? Because it helps on that innovation solution side of things, but it's also a very emotional context.
Yeah.
You know, if you reframe something, you're trying to pull everything that you've put into something away to look at it in a bigger context or in a wider environment. And it's a really, we don't use it as often as we should in marketing. We often chase towards that end outcome because we're all trying to deliver that one email, that one tweet or whatever it is. Actually pulling away and trying to understand if that worked and reframe how we could get there again is really powerful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been, I think for people who are struggling with how you start reframing, right? Like how you get to reframing. One of my favorite like warm-ups is just based as a question again, right? And a question is, good questions to ask at right times are good facilitation tools. We've talked about facilitators a lot and the value of that kind of role within marketing and your team and organizationally. But if you had a question like, if money was no object, what would we do to, you know, insert challenge, right, if money was no object, is one that everybody can get rid of that baggage, that mental baggage, right? That stuff that stops you or kills your ideas too soon. It's that sort of question, because they go, we're just paying, like we're just getting some stuff out. This is a creative thinking exercise. If money wasn't an object, so take away the biggest barrier to most marketing activity, right?
It's always money, budget.
Right? Remove that, right? What would we do if we couldn't do that? There will be lessons in there.
Of course.
There will be things you think of that you wouldn't have thought of if you started with how much budget do we have, or if budget was at the front of your mind. And there's a few versions of that. You can do time, you can even do leadership teams, right? One of them, I've done a lot of this with it within leadership teams, and we've asked, if a new CEO came in today, what would they do differently? Right, in strategy conversations, so a bunch of C-suite people planning a strategy to go forward, right? And one of the questions we ask is, if a new CEO came in, because we all know, anybody who's ever met a CEO, right, they're going to change a thing. They don't come in and go, yeah, that's fine, that's absolutely fine, thanks. it's not a thing, right? You want to come in, you put your stamp on an organization. Same with the CEO. Right? You want to...
Wait. Anybody in the C-suite's like that, aren't they? They want to, you know, they're there for a reason. They're there to change things quite often.
But reframing is an opportunity to challenge creatively, I think. And you know, if a new CEO came in, what would they do differently? It's a great question, right? A great question to start to reframe a strategy or a brand or an opportunity or a challenge or a perspective. Because you guys and... who either serving clients in brands or internal marketers or in your own brands have that, you know, you have a limited perspective just because you get told, if you're serving clients, they will tell you what they tell you. Do you know what I mean? They will only tell you what you tell you. You don't have a full picture. So it's your job to kind of poke the box, to help them reframe the thing, to get to the truth or get to it. Uncover the opportunity, like peel the layers of an onion back. That's where I went at reframing, that sort of creative exercise.
Yeah, I think it's great. There's a great tool which I'll run through now with you, and you can give me your thoughts on it. Yeah. So this is from Learning and Development Industry.com. I've been involved in L&D for quite a few years in education, but they've got a mnemonic for reframe. So the R stands for rethink the question.
Okay.
So rethinking about how you would usually ask that question and reasking it a different way. The E is engage the right people. So making sure you're asking that question to the right people in the room, not just to the normal people that you would usually have that conversation with.
Yeah.
So that's starting to reframe. The F is focus on the why. So why are you trying to reframe? Try and find the purpose of it. The second R is rephrase the problem, which in a way is almost rethink the question, but it's just taking it that one step under again in trying to define what that problem is.
Yeah.
Then the A is assume nothing, which I quite like. Yeah. M is make lots of bad ideas. So to get to a good idea, you've got to have lots of crap ones too.
Yeah.
And then the final E is explore potential solutions.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, I really like that. It's very design thinky. Isn't it?
It's very design thinking. But don't you think this is where I find marketing of most interest at the moment? I think we said this in the last episode. Design thinking is transitioning into marketing now. It's agile approaches and agile responses are what marketers have got to become or have got to carry out rather than trying to be the traditional marketer.
Yeah, I think it's very effective. Like, it's really good. It's very effective. It fits. I was just trying to fit it then into the design thinking double diamond. We're not going down a design thinking episode.
No. But that's series two when we'll get a design thinking person in with us.
Bailey on design thinking down. It's good. But I was trying to fit it into the double diamond shape that's synonymous with design thinking. But I really, I think it's got everything in it. I love stuff like that. I love little cool snippets that you can use on the slide.
I love it when it's in a mnemonic, because it's a struggle to remind yourself of those things. So take that away, listeners.
Yeah.
Every time you're trying to reframe things, think of the mnemonic reframe. So rethink the question, engage the right people, focus on the why, rephrase the problem, assume nothing, make lots of bad ideas, and explore potential solutions.
Yeah, I really like that. So rethinking that is again, big picture stuff for me. Like, it gives you permission to open your brain up a little bit and engage the right people, obviously, right? And within any organisation, you'll need a cross-functional team, right? That business is an organization as a whole to a customer, not a department. So you need the cross-functional team. Focus on why, it gives everything, like there's no point in doing any exercise if it hasn't got a purpose or a depth to it. Like, you're just doing activity for that. Rephrase the problem. Again, we've used this example a couple of times, but like the how might we prenup of a sentence. Yeah.
It's really powerful. That's a really powerful way to look at things.
Or what if, do you know what I mean? There's loads of little prenums like that, but really good tools that will help you easily do it. Assume nothing. Like we've said before that we all have to make assumptions, right? And marketing is about, to a degree, and branding is proving those right or wrong, right? And make loads of ideas, like, because people kill ideas too fast, right? They kill people. We used to, well, currently, actually, in meetings and workshops, I ban the phrase yes, but, and expel people called yes, butters.
I quite like saying yes, but.
See, no, because yes, but kills ideas.
Yeah, it does.
So
I use it with my kids all the time.
That's all right. That's parenting.
Yeah.
You should kill kids' ideas. Oh, well, I don't know. Take that out. Thanks. Or leave it in. Who knows? But make lots of bad ideas, and explore solutions is where it gets design thinking, doesn't it? Have lots of ideas, like define them, have a solution, define them. It's very double diamond, that last bit.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that. That's really good. Well done, L&D people.
Sorry, my dog's just come in and is now hitting his tail against the table. That's what everybody can hear.
That's all right. Life happens on Zoom, doesn't it?
You know what? When we get to series two, we might be... Well, the pubs are now open, Tim, but we'd have to stay, 1 metre apart.
It's all right. More than 1 metre apart now and it works, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we'll be all right. The next series might come from a pub. That'd be quite good.
Interesting. But I love that. Yeah, that's a good guide for reframing.
Yeah, I really like it. I've used it a few times. And the one that I like the most in there is making new ideas and having lots of great ideas and working out the crap ones.
Yeah.
So Google have done this for years with their design sprints. And if you've never used this way of doing it before, here's a little tidbit to take away. Get everybody in a room, get them to complete their ideas on a canvas. If you search Google Design Canvas, it comes up, right? And they can complete all their different ideas, throw them all on the wall, right? Don't stop until you've got 30, 40, 50 ideas. The more, the better, okay? Then give everybody 4 or 5 little dots. And the little sticky dots. And nobody's allowed to talk. And they must go around and read each one of those ideas and then vote for their favourite idea. But it's silent voting, so you're not allowed to discuss it. Nobody's allowed to discuss it. What you'll find is you'll have 1 or 2 great ideas with more post-it, with little stickers on, than the others. So what you've done is you've given everybody a voice, you've given everybody a bit of a design sprint, but you've got people to then start to back certain ideas. That can really help reframe everything that you're doing. Because, you know, if you're so inside your mindset of one or two ideas that you've thought of, but then you see another 38, you've helped that person reframe what they're trying to achieve too. So, yeah, those design sprints, I've done them a couple of times. I was introduced to them middle of last year. And I think they're absolutely superb in what they achieve.
They're really good. I love it. I love a bit of, it's Dotmocracy, it's called, in the change.
Is that my, Dotmocracy? Yeah. I like that.
Because people...
Never heard it under that before. That's, I like that.
Yeah, it's called Dotmocracy. So we've used Dotmocracy in marketing department. So for a company last year, there was a bit of a not a, a rebrand, but a rejig of the look, because the brand was the same, but the aesthetic, yeah, you know, the font we use, the style of imagery and that sort of thing.
Yes,
right. Yeah. And we wanted to test a few out. So we printed them off in big, which is A1, I think, stuck them on the canteen wall and gave everybody three dots. And over the period of the week, they had to stick one or three dots on the one that they liked the best of.
Yeah.
Right. And then that just saves a lot of time. Just going, which one do you think it's the best one?
But also it gives that whole, as we've talked about in previous episodes, where marketing really is the internal stakeholder,
yeah,
you know, manager. It means you're managing that internal stakeholders at all times by taking them on the journey with you, which is really important.
Yeah.
Really important.
Because the designers are best designers, but, you know, everybody, and it's one of those things, right? It's internal comms, right? It's proving that marketing are doing work. It's making everybody focus on the customer, what the customer would want. Obviously, you'll get people in there who say they don't like the font. I'm going, that's all right. It's not for you. Like, which is the best of doing this thing, right? The reframing of that challenge, of that Dotmocracy is important, right? So which one do you think would be the most effective at getting new customers to download our demo, right? Which is relevant for this one, would be the reframing of that little challenge. You've got three dots. You can stick three on one. You can put one on all of them or two on one, whatever you like. But in relation to this question, it's not whether you like it or not, because we don't need whether people like purple. That's not valuable data.
No, it's not. It's not
sure. Right? We want to, in relation to that challenge, right? We've reframed that challenge for internal people to help us.
And even the people who have used that approach before, think about, and I know it's different at the minute because not many people have been inside a workplace, but how often have you used that when it's that powerful as a way to ask those reframing questions? It's really powerful to use that Dotmocracy, which I'm gonna use that for the rest of my life. But I should think, you haven't used it as much as you could have done.
No. I think, you know, it's... I think it again goes back to the very first episode and the bigger idea surrounding that restructure of a marketing department to be going that anybody who has a touch point or anything to do with a customer is marketing. Right. Whether you're making a product, it's marketing, right? Because you need to make a good product, right? If you're in marketing, it's marketing. If you're in customer service with customers, it's marketing, right?
Yeah.
You've got, it's that breaking down silos, right? So reframing what an organization actually is, right? And the roles and responsibilities within that. It used to be dead easy. It's been easy when I started work. If you were good at numbers, you sat in the accounts department, you did accounts. You weren't in marketing meetings. Right? You did accounts. Right? You didn't have the same apps on your tool. You didn't have access. Nobody taught you unless they had an accounts question. It was that.
Right? Yeah. That very true.
It can't work now. It just can't work.
No.
In that.
No, it can't.
But this is that. You know, reframing as a tool of a facilitator, and we've taught and preached about facilitation and having that as a skill set in the creative department. And it needs to be led by a creative department, because in theory we use our creative muscle more, so we're better at asking questions. We're better at reframing things. We're better at rethinking. We're better at engaging the right people. We're better at focusing on the why. We're better at rephrasing problems. We're better at kind of making assumptions and getting people to discard that. We're better at having loads of bad ideas, and we're better at exploring solutions, right? It needs to be us. It needs to be us.
It's got to be us, because if marketers don't lead on it, who else will?
We need to do that. We need to have the ability to reframe. And Steve said in a couple of episodes as well, it's you don't just want to be the devil's advocate, because that's annoying.
Yeah.
One of the important things in here is in that reframe, whatever you called it, that reframe model.
Mnemonic, reframe mnemonic.
It is focus on the why, right? Just being devil's advocate is being a bit of a knob, if I'm honest, right? It's disruptive, not in the fun Elon Musk way. But focusing on the why, doing it with impact, not just doing the activity, right? Asking challenging questions, reframing stuff, making sure people know the why is because of that why, that purpose, that depth, right? That should be at the corner of everything. Don't just do reframing because you've listened to this and you think it's cool, right?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
No, it's not hard, is it? This is what I keep going back to. You know, I sometimes sit there and go, you know, when we're talking, it's so clear in my head what this should look like and how it should be, because it's not hard. It's not hard to challenge openly but be sympathetic to what people are trying to say. It's not hard to reframe things. It only becomes hard because of the structures or the surroundings that we've put ourselves within. But the only people who can change that is ourselves. And being that curiosity paralysis person is not going to help anybody.
No.
You being at the center. And that's the only, as creative people, as Tim says, as creative people, we're the only people who can do that. We can be the only people who can look at everything else that's going on and think, how would I impact on all of that? Everybody else is delivering something quite finite. So sales have a number and figure they must reach, they must hit to ensure that it's profitable as a business. Finance must make sure that the sales team are selling that and budgets are accounted for. Product developers are building a product until it is actually built, and then they hand it over and expect it to just work. How is that going to help any of us reframe something if it's not selling as we expect?
Yeah, it is that role. It's definitely that role. That it's our responsibility to do that, to reframe, to challenge, to...
But it's our responsibility to reframe the facilitation of reframing.
Yeah.
Because we won't have all the answers, but we know we can ask the right questions.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think we referred to it before, but all these things, all these little things that me and Steve talk about on these podcasts are tools, right? And they live in your marketing toolbox.
Yeah.
There's loads of them, right? They're all strategic tools, and you'll notice that. Well, we've not yet, and I'd be surprised if we did have a super tactical thing on how to write good copy, because that's not the work that me and Steve do, right? We're teaching you the other stuff, the stuff you miss out. Your copywriters out there will be better at that than us, right? So we're teaching.
I know some great copywriters. I never write my own copy. I'm terrible at it.
I am terrible at it. Even with Grammarly, I am terrible at it. God damn. Yeah. But anyway.
That's the first thing I upgraded to. My version of Grammarly.
Yeah, same. But there's a bunch of tools that will try and teach you and help you know how to use them, like reframing, like facilitation, like design thinking, like building a proposition, like a strategic statement, like reframing challenges, like how might we's and stuff, right? And it's your job to keep all these tools there with a bit of knowledge that you can whack them out when a job appears that it looks like it's the right job for. Because
we probably won't even give the tools. I mean, we'll talk about the ones that we go through and the ones that we use because they've worked for us previously. But and you may sit there as you know, hardened listeners to the podcast if you've got this far, and go, well, I would never use that. That's fair enough.
That's all right.
Completely fair enough. And let us know the tools that you use to help you reframe or get around problems. We haven't got all the answers. We're telling you what we use now.
This is it.
And things always change. And one day someone will come along and trump that reframing mnemonic. Somebody else will come along and they'll trump something else. It doesn't matter. That's great. I'm happy to hear new and varied ways of reframing problems or new and varied ways of gaining more customer insight or research, whatever it is. Let us know.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a great little quote by a miscellaneous person. I don't know who said it, but like marketing is searching for a number of right answers to a question that always changes, right?
Yeah.
Not one of us have the answer, right? Not, like there's no guru, even though the gurus do claim they have the answer.
There's some good gurus in marketing.
There's some good gurus, but they don't usually append themselves with a guru. They just get on with the job and do it well.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But that'd be a really good episode in series two. Would be along the lines of the best marketing gurus.
The best marketing gurus, yeah. Well, let's do that. And we can get them on. It'll be amazing.
All of them, yeah. Like Seth Godin in.
Yeah, I love Seth. But I think, like, reframing is a good thing. And it's, I think it combats stagnation.
Because, yeah.
You know, it's easy to be efficient at marketing, as we've said before. The your job is actually to be effective. Efficiency and effective aren't the same.
Do you know what? As marketers, we should be like engineers by mind. And I mean that in an engineer is a tinkerer who's never quite happy.
Yeah.
So an engineer could have a new ball bearing that is 100% efficient and 100% effective, but they'll always look to see if they can improve it.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't matter what you've done. You could be operating on, your open rates on everything is skyrocketed. It's massively high compared to industry standards. It's all these different things that you can measure yourself against and you are phenomenal at it. That's brilliant. But is that really just going to stay around like that for the next month, 2 months, 3 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years? And even if it was, why wouldn't you want to try and reframe it again to see if you could get that next percentage increase?
That's it. I think there's always that element of continual improvement. Like I'm a sucker for it because I like design thinking and all that stuff, and it's just based on continual improvement. It's cyclical, right? As soon as you've finished a thing, like you start again.
Go back.
It's not. And my old marketing team used to drive me insane. It's come, hey, we smashed that thing. All right, cool. Why did it work? What was it about it? They were like, oh, Jesus. Can't we just say it worked? I was like, no, we need to know why. Like, and then it just start again. Like, not that I wasn't super happy that it worked. I was super happy, but I really need to know why. I want to understand, right?
Yeah, you want to understand the nuts, not so much the nuts and bolts, but you need to understand that the nuts and bolts can be changed to improve again.
Yeah. Like if it was the image that worked, then why didn't the copy? Like,
if both worked, why did people resonate with that copy and why did people resonate with that image?
Yeah, and so many good questions for reframing stuff. But like, even if you're successful reframing, right? Because we banged on about stuff all the time that it's easy to do new stuff. I think we did a reinvention sort of episode, yeah. Like how often should you reinvent, right? Yeah. How often should you redo? And this is a similar question. How often should you reframe? right? Reframing is a tool to help you creatively improve a project, the effectiveness of a project, right? And it can be reframing a challenge, which is a problem, which means you need to sort it out sharpish, right? Or improve or doing a continual improvement.
Like it should be used for content. That's the thing. It should be used for the continual improvement, because otherwise it becomes a tool that nobody enjoys, because it's all about getting yourself out of a problem.
I think it's both. Like a creative thinking tool can be used for the right job. Sometimes it'll be problems, but I always reframe.
I'm not saying that you can't use it for both, and then you should use it for both, but you should use it to reframe all the time.
If you're proactively doing it, right?
Yes, exactly. Proactively using it to gain increments, or to look at the same outcome in a different way. You should be using it daily, weekly, monthly. You shouldn't just pick it out of your toolbox when something's going to shit.
That's exactly right. We've used proactive, reactive a few times over this first series, you know, the difference between that. And it is difficult to get into a proactive mindset, to be forward thinking, right? It is difficult, but that's our challenge, right? That's our challenge as marketers, to always have a proactive element, or teams to have a proactive element. Because if we're already dealing and reframing and aware of problems or issues and trying to improve them for next time, then the problems become a little diluted, not as important. If we wait for a problem to happen, a whole bunch of negative energy and stuff comes along with that, which I think. But there's been a bunch of those over these last few months. And I think we spoke before this episode about one of our favourite people, Simon Sinek, having a bit of a reframe, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. The man is my hero.
Yeah.
Anything that comes out of his mouth just seems to resonate with me. And I'm sure a lot of people will resonate with Simon Sinek in the same way, or they'll have somebody else who they look up to and go, everything they say seems to work. But he is just one of those. And when he started talking about how he's reframing his business to do exactly the same thing, but in a different way, because the problem hasn't changed, just how you can deliver to the problem has changed.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
It was a good thing, right? And it follows that nice reframe mnemonic pretty easily. If we did the exercise on a big piece of paper, we could map that.
Yeah.
5-minute video, was it? Not even that, maybe.
It's a little bit longer than five, but, you know, there was a bit of looking at the guy in the big hat.
Big hat. Well, find that for yourself. Obscure reference time.
Research it.
We'll put it in the research, but basically what he did is Simon Sinek, as you know, start with why guy, infinite game guy, that sort of guy, did a lot of, and he is probably one of the best public speaking people, and had an organization of followers and disciples who also spoke publicly about said topic, right? Yeah. Has a mission to inspire others so that I can't remember it's right to inspire others so that they do work that inspires them or something, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Simon, if I made a hash of that, but you get the ballpark. So he had that, and when COVID comes, he did it looked like a Zoom call recorded to his team, like an internal call, where he said, if you're sitting around waiting for stages to open again so you can go and speak on them, you've got another thing coming. Right, that's done. Right, what I want you to do is reinvent yourself and reframe. And he did such a good job of reframing the future that a bunch of people who could have took that as, oh my God, we're going to get sacked, to reframe the problem. This is the opportunity to take it to the next level, do stuff you've never done before. We've still got this mission to do, right? We're still on the same mission. Don't worry about the mission, the depth, the purpose behind it. You've just got to reframe how you deliver that, right? I don't mind what, and he gave permission. It's like, I don't mind what it is. You figure it out. Yeah. I've got you here.
Complete trust that everybody's bought into that one clear purpose mission, though.
Honestly, well, such a good reframe. that whole video, right? I don't know if he thought about it. I don't know if he pre-planned it. I get the impression he didn't.
I don't know, because if you think he rolled out inside that video, he talked about Netflix as well, didn't he? And how, you know, his whole thing is, I think the video is called These Are Not Unprecedented Times.
Yes.
Which made me want to watch anyway, because the amount of times the word unprecedented had been used up until that point, and I was thoroughly hating that word. And I still do to this day. But he brought up around the Netflix one. So I think he probably had some thoughts about what he's going to say, but you could tell it was not off the cuff, but it was, he had points that he had planned, but not in a way, it wasn't scripted.
It wasn't presented. It had an emotional...
Yes, he had a buy-in into it.
Like it hit me in the face with a spade level of emotion, not like he was doing an internal meeting.
But look at Netflix, because Netflix did a massive reframe, didn't they? They went from, we've just rented out our, what was it, 1 billionth DVD or something like that. We're stopping doing DVDs. You know, most people have gone, we've just done 1 billion. How are we going to get to 2 billion? And Netflix went, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it all through digital download services.
Yeah.
They reframed what they were. It's the same thing. They wanted people to watch movies in their homes, you know, and bring the cinema to that front living room. It's just how they delivered it was slightly different.
How might we deliver films to people's homes more effectively?
Yeah. And keep up with technology.
Yeah. How is it?
Look at how much they reframed so well. They put Blockbuster out of business within 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some good ones. But there's some... I would watch that example, right? And it doesn't have to be so mind-blowingly challenging as a COVID pandemic when you reframe stuff. It should be a positive and proactive little tool that you can do to make sure you're doing the best work. You make sure you're doing good work.
In every episode, we talk about the ones, you know, the people who we look at who have done a great job of the episode title. And this one, reframing, one of the ones that popped up was Instagram. So most people think Instagram was just a new thing, but it wasn't. It was an app called Bourbon, or B-U-R-B-N, before.
That's it?
Yeah. Which was a check-in app which sat alongside Mafia Wars. And what they did... is they looked after the photo element inside that check-in app. And they realised that everybody liked the photo bit, but none of the other bits. So they stripped everything back and just did photos and launched as Instagram.
Interesting that I didn't think of that. I didn't know the history of Instagram. I'm not a massive Instagram fan, but that's an interesting reframe,
actually. Yeah. But they went, we're doing too much. We need to strip back. They completely reframed on what the customer was using and what they was engaging with and what they knew they could deliver on.
That's quite good. I did like check-in. When Foursquare was a thing, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Foursquare was cool.
I loved checking in. I was mayor of everywhere, me. bring back Foursquare, isn't it? Episode 19. Yeah, I don't know. It might still be there, but I've stopped using it. But yeah, it's a good reframe. Maybe they should reframe Foursquare as an example.
Perhaps we should reframe Foursquare.
Maybe we should. NDA in the show notes, people. Thanks. Yeah. That's good. That's good, right? But I've got a kind of example, right? Tenuous link to an example. So...
Tenuous ones are always the best.
Tenuous link, right? I want to give a bit of a shine a light on the musical Hamilton, if I'm honest.
Don't spoil it, because I have not watched it yet. I cannot wait. I've been waiting for... I'm not a musicals guy, right? I've never been into any of that stuff. And about 3 years ago, I dragged my wife to London to watch me do the London Ride 100, and she said she would only do it if I went to go and see the Harry Potter plays afterwards. So the following weekend, we went down and watched the Harry Potter plays, The Cursed Child, episode 1 and 2, parts 1 and 2, and it blew me away. I was like, well, I've just turned into a theatre person over a few hours. And the only other one that I was really excited about seeing, and apart from the Book of Mormon, which I had tickets to go and see in August, but that's been cancelled because of COVID, would have been Hamilton. And I now know it's on Disney Plus. And
it is on Disney Plus.
I really want to watch it. We've just not got round to it.
I've watched it 3 times now, right?
And really?
Yeah, it's so good. I'm quite into theatre stuff because my wife is in that space.
Obviously. Yeah.
So we go quite a lot. And I've always been a fan of watching talented people because I don't really have a discernible talent. Like, you look at them and go, God, that was good. I could never do that. It always makes me feel...
I sound like that in the shower? That's what I always think.
Maybe. But Hamilton, right, not without any spoilers, is epic. But it's reframed two things, right? People know that the American Civil War and the Founding Fathers story, it's not new, right? This is not new. This is not disrupting a new angle of the Founding Fathers. It's history. It's happened. It's fact, right? They're telling a very, very old story, but they've reframed it amazingly. Like, just watch out for the rewind bit and the hurricane and and Thomas Jefferson. Oh, my God, Thomas Jefferson as a character. Absolutely epic. But they've reframed that. But they've also reframed from a guy who goes to a lot of classical musicals and ballets, because my wife's a ballet teacher, to what musicals are, right? They've reframed the whole concept of a musical. And it's been, like, there's a guy called Matthew Bourne who's done it to ballet. Like, he's modern, he does contemporary ballet, and he's done an all-male Swan Lake. Like, and it's like, I don't know how he got to that. Like, so I don't know how it worked. Came out of somebody's head.
Right. But they've shifted the needle on what musicals are perceived as. That's all I've heard about. I honestly can't wait to watch it.
Honestly, it's one of the best. I'll probably watch it again. I could watch it quite a lot. I've watched it, like I say, 3 times, and there's always bits where I'm like, I didn't see that last time because I was watching the other guy.
Cool. And,
it's just so good how they've reframed the concept of musical, how they've reframed that and told that story and the storytelling in it, right? And as Tim Elliott, not a pro marketer presenting a podcast, how the creativity that whoever wrote that musical, right, how the bloody hell did they think of doing it like that? Like, what kind of brain has that person got where it's ended up as that? Like, honestly, gobsmacks me. But I would say...
What's great about it is you're not the only person who talks about it that way. Yeah. So many people are... My brother-in-law, he's in Amdram. So he's on the stage once a year at a theatre, not a big theatre, not a small one. He's done some big production stuff, and he raves about how good Hamilton is.
Like, honestly, it's changing. I know it's not technically a brand, but I'm pretty sure Hamilton's that big that it's a brand now.
No, I think it is a brand, isn't it? But if you say the word Hamilton now, you either think of Lewis driving his F1 car, or you think of that musical. You don't think of, you know, cigars and stuff.
No, but it's just like they've reframed a few things right in there. So I know it's a tenuous link, but they've reframed the story, an ancient old story of fact, right? Which I know because I did it at A level, right? And it's okay, it's not super interesting, but they've reframed it really well, and they've reframed the experience of delivering that content through a different level of storytelling, and it's
on my list to watch.
Boom.
I'll watch it this weekend.
Dude.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Honestly.
I have one brand that I wanted to say have reframed multiple times and absolutely nailed it in 1966, which is Nintendo. Right. Now, everybody knows Nintendo as a computer games company with Duck Hunt and Mario and Donkey Kong and all these different things. Pre them making that games console, in 1966 when they pivoted, they used to make playing cards, vacuum cleaners, instant rice, and they had a short stay hotel. And then they realized, this isn't working. We need to make computer games. That's real reframing right there.
I'm not a big gamer, right? But I know, I'm aware enough that they've, from their first machine, their first console, they've gone behind Microsoft and Sony, right, in their the console thing. But then they bought out Switch, which looks amazing, and the Game Boys, and
like, yeah. So I've been a big gamer for years. I haven't gamed a lot over the last couple of years, to be honest. Well, since the kids have been born, I just haven't. But you know, I've got the PS4, I've got the Nintendo Switch, I've got the Facebook Oculus VR set. I've got a lot of stuff. Where Nintendo really reframed again inside the console war thing was they realized they were never going to be able to get on the same level as Microsoft and Xbox and Sony and the PS4.
Yeah.
On that graphics led and that full, you're a gamer experience. So they brought out the Wii at the time, which was to get young people with a control in their hand stand up jogging around to help them be more active whilst playing games. Yeah. And it just cemented them as this entry gateway. They're almost a gateway drug in computer game terms. They're the ones that, as a young person, you will play, you will go in, it's colourful, it's bright, it's fun. It's problem, it's logic puzzles. It's not Splinter Cell, it's not Call of Duty. It's about enjoying but being active whilst playing.
So
they've done an awesome job at it.
So reframing that, Nintendo answered, how might we get non-gamers into gaming?
They reframe our problem, realistically, are Sony and Microsoft, we don't want to keep compete on that level. Therefore, let's reframe what our product does and let's base it around getting people active.
That's good. I like them. Nintendo. Yeah, awesome. So that's reframing, folks. That use it as a tool.
Yeah, do you use it.
Positively and productively. It doesn't
let us know how you get on with it as well. Tweet us, wherever we are on social media. It's not hard to find us.
They're in the links, people.
Yeah.
Tweet us on leave a comment where you find this. We'll find it.
Let us know if any of the tips or tools that we talked about today, you use them and if they work for you.
Brilliant.
It'd be great to hear some success stories.